In the span of a single heartbeat, a reusable rocket can detect an internal flaw and abort its launch to prevent a massive explosion.
Right. Just instantly.
Yeah. And at the same time, $1 billion of cryptocurrency can just vanish from a supposedly secure network.
Exactly. Or, you know, a microscopic chip made in Beijing can trigger absolute panic across an entire country's stock market.
It's wild. The physical and digital worlds, they aren't just colliding anymore. They're inextricably linked. And in a lot of ways, they are kind of holding each other hostage. So welcome to the deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
Today is Wednesday, July 29, 2026, and we are opening up the latest Tick and Knight report. It's an incredibly wide spectrum of breaking news for you today.
Yeah, it really is a massive stack of information for us to go through.
For sure. On the surface, the sources we're looking at seem like they belong in totally different universes. I mean, we've got aerospace logistics, AI server architecture, decentralized finance heists, and like even the review for a psychological horror video game.
Which is quite the lineup. If you just read the headlines, you probably get whiplash trying to connect a geopolitical semiconductor race to, you know, a video game set in a foggy Scottish town.
Okay, let's unpack this because there is a pressing underlying question connecting every single one of these stories.
There really is.
As our systems, whether they're rockets, AI networks, or financial markets, as they become increasingly complex, how do we engineer them to prevent catastrophic failure?
Right. And maybe more importantly, as the technology gets closer to perfection, where do we, the humans, become the ultimate weak link?
Yeah, that's the real question. So let's start with a masterclass in preventing catastrophic failure. We need to talk about SpaceX and what happened at Vandenberg Space Force Base on July 25th.
Oh, yeah. They put 24 Starlink V2 mini satellites into low Earth orbit on a Falcon 9 rocket.
Just another day at the office for them.
Literally. Just looking at the logistics of this network is staggering. This particular launch was their 85th successful mission of 2026 alone.
That cadence is just unbelievable.
It really is. They're constantly bolstering a constellation that now operates with over 6,000 active satellites. Mm-hmm. And that's providing internet to more than 3 million subscribers worldwide.
To put that into perspective for you, it is essentially a celestial highway that SpaceX has built and paved entirely by themselves.
Yeah.
And the source material really digs into why no other aerospace company can even get a lane on this highway. It all comes down to, well, the economic paradigm of reusability.
Right. The cost difference is basically a structural moat at this point.
Yeah.
A Falcon 9 launch currently runs about $67 million.
Which sounds like a lot, but...
But the specific first stage booster used in this weekend's launch just flew for its 23rd time.
Wow.
It has been up and down 23 times. When you look at expendable systems, rockets built by competitors like Europe's Ariane 6 or the Atlas V, they're charging anywhere from $80 to $115 million for similar payload capacities.
And those competitor rockets only fly once, right?
Exactly. They fly once, they burn their fuel, deliver the payload, and then just crash into the ocean or burn up in the atmosphere. SpaceX is operating with a reusable asset, driving their margins down to a point where traditional expendable aerospace engineering simply cannot compete.
But the engineering philosophy isn't just about reusing the metal. It's about the software and the telemetry keeping that metal intact, which is key.
Oh, absolutely.
Like 5 days before the successful launch on July 20th, there was an anomaly.
Right, the pad abort.
Yeah, the Merlin engines ignited on the pad for a completely different mission, but the automatic safety systems shut them down milliseconds before liftoff. It's like a high-speed bullet train that can detect a flaw.
Oh, that's a good way to look at it.
And hit the emergency brakes in milliseconds before the engine even turns over.
The mechanics of that shutdown are incredibly complex. I mean, you have 9 massive Merlin engines reaching ignition. In that fraction of a second, thousands of sensors are streaming telemetry data.
Like pressures and temperatures.
Yeah, pressures, temperatures, fuel flow rates. The onboard computers have to detect a deviation from the expected parameters, calculate the risk of catastrophic failure, and command a total engine abort before the thrust can actually lift the vehicle off the pad.
It's mind-blowing.
It really requires a system architecture where every single component is constantly verifying its own integrity.
And that need for an architecture that can instantly detect a flaw and manage it without, you know, destroying the whole system, that perfectly mirrors a quiet revolution happening in the software world right now.
It really does.
Let's look at what Anthropic just did. On July 28th, they released a massive update to their Model Context Protocol, the MCP. They are shifting the entire protocol, the new 2026-07-28 specification, from a stateful architecture to a completely stateless one.
Yeah, and this is one of those structural updates that completely rewires how the internet's most advanced AI tools talk to each other, even if it doesn't really make mainstream headlines.
Right, because it's pretty technical. They are eliminating all this clunky infrastructure, like sticky load balancers and those Redis session stores.
Exactly. Because in a stateful architecture, when an AI client and a server start a conversation, they establish a session. The server actually has to allocate memory to remember who it's talking to and what they've discussed so far.
Which gets heavy, I imagine.
Super heavy.
Yeah.
As the network scales to millions of users, you need massive infrastructure just to manage those memories. You need those sticky load balancers to ensure a user's request always goes to the exact same server instance that holds their memory.
Oh, I see.
And you need huge Redis databases just to store all those active session IDs.
Wait, stateless sounds like it has amnesia, though. Like, if it isn't keeping a session history, how does the AI remember what you're doing? How do complex tasks work if every request is just, you know, starting from scratch?
What's fascinating here is that each HTTP request is now entirely self-contained. It relies on a new standard called the Multi-Round-Trip Requests Pattern, or MRTR.
Okay, MRTR.
Yeah. Because the server isn't storing your history, every single request sent by the client carries all the necessary context within the payload of the request itself.
So instead of a continuing phone call where we both have to actively remember what we just said, it's more like passing a very detailed clipboard back and forth. Everything I need you to know is just written right on the clipboard.
That analogy holds up perfectly, actually. And if the server receives that clipboard but realizes it needs more information to complete the task, it doesn't leave a connection open and wait for you.
It just hands it back.
Pretty much. It returns a command called an input required result. It essentially hands a clipboard back and says, you know, I cannot process this until you provide data points X, Y, and Z.
Ah, got it.
Then the client application goes, retrieves those data points, packages them up, and sends a brand new, fully independent request.
I mean, I can see how that requires more back and forth traffic, sure, but the resilience it adds is huge. You don't need sticky load balancers anymore. You don't need to maintain vast databases of session memories.
Right. Any server on the planet can just grab that clipboard, read it, do the work, and pass it back. For developers, this means significantly cheaper cloud bills and way fewer bugs.
And it scales infinitely.
Infinite scalability. Plus, Anthropic included native open telemetry tracing, which is essentially a standardized GPS tracker for software requests.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, when you're passing that clipboard across dozens of different microservices, open telemetry stamps it at every stop. If a complex AI task fails, developers don't have to dig through a tangled, hours-long session history to find the bug. They just look at the telemetry trace to easily monitor the systems and see the exact millisecond and server where it dropped.
Just like the telemetry sensors on the Falcon 9 rocket isolating the exact engine that caused the anomaly.
Exactly the same principle.
They're engineering out the structural vulnerability.
Mm.
But, you know, while AI infrastructure is actively removing its weak links and getting more secure, the financial software world is currently bleeding from theirs.
Oh, yeah. It is not pretty over there right now.
Let's open up the crypto security report from Blockade covering the first half of 2026. The scale of capital destruction here is severe.
We are looking at over $1 billion stolen across 212 documented security incidents in just 6 months.
$1 billion.
Yeah. Ethereum took a $332 million hit. And Solana lost $326 million. That's 65% of the hits right there, driven heavily by their massive DeFi or decentralized finance ecosystems.
And the report details a single incident with a liquid restaking protocol called KelpDAO, where $292 million vanished in one go.
Just wiped out.
But the truly alarming part of this Blockade report isn't just the sheer numbers. It shows a massive shift away from just smart contract bugs toward private key theft and advanced phishing attacks.
Right, the underlying code of the blockchain is actually holding up fine.
So we're no longer just worried about a flaw in the bank vault's code. Hackers are basically socially engineering the bank manager to hand over the keys.
It's terrifying when you put it like that.
It's like spending millions on a titanium door but falling for a scam caller who asks for your passcode.
This raises an important question about where responsibility actually lies. I mean, cross-chain breaches are still a massive structural vulnerability, but the shift to user-targeted attacks means that code security just isn't enough anymore.
Because the math is flawless, but the humans aren't.
Exactly. The attackers realize that mathematically flawless cryptography is too hard to break, so they target you, the user. In 2026, personal wallet hygiene is just as critical as the blockchain's underlying math.
And phishing in 2026 is definitely not a poorly spelled email asking for your password anymore.
Not at all. It involves sophisticated front-end spoofing, where they perfectly replicate the user interface of a decentralized exchange. Or they use clipboard hijacking malware.
Oh, the clipboard hijacking is vicious.
It is. When you copy a long, complex address to send funds, the malware quietly swaps out the destination address in your clipboard for the attacker's address. If you don't meticulously verify every character before clicking approve, the money is just gone.
It raises a huge question about managing these systems. I mean, human psychology really is the weak link here.
And that psychological vulnerability doesn't just apply to phishing. Sometimes, a physical breakthrough in a completely different country can tank the digital markets because of human panic.
Oh, right. This is the butterfly effect in action. If you're holding a Bitcoin ETF right now, or you have investments in Asian equity markets, you might be wondering why your portfolio suddenly tanked this week.
It was a rough week for a lot of portfolios.
It all started with the wild July 28 market contagion. A Beijing-backed company successfully manufactured a DUV chip that actually rivals the technology produced by the West's ASML.
And ASML is a Dutch company that basically holds a global monopoly on the machines required to print advanced microchips. They're the ultimate geopolitical choke point.
Right. And by successfully manufacturing their own DUV chip, Beijing bypassed that choke point. And the moment that news broke, South Korea's stock market, the KOSPI index, just crashed by 11%.
Yeah, the panic was so violent, it triggered South Korea's circuit breakers twice. The exchange literally had to physically freeze all trading just to force human traders and algorithmic bots to stop selling.
And giants like Samsung were tanking by 13%.
It's a financial equivalent of the SpaceX engine abort.
Yeah.
An automated system detecting catastrophic failure and hitting the emergency brake.
But here's where it gets really interesting. This traditional market panic bled instantly into crypto. Bitcoin dropped below $64,000. AI-related tokens like FET dropped 9.48%. And derivatives markets hit 51.5% short volume as traders bet heavily on the collapse continuing.
Just a massive wave of selling across the board.
But wait, Bitcoin's code didn't change today. The blockchain was producing blocks exactly as it always does. But because China made a physical chip and Korea panicked over their semiconductor industry, Bitcoin tanks, doesn't that completely contradict the whole narrative of Bitcoin being an uncorrelated, decentralized safe haven?
It definitely challenges it. And the mechanism driving that correlation is the spot Bitcoin ETFs. It's a double-edged sword, really.
How so?
Well, when those ETFs launched, they brought massive liquidity to the market, but they also tethered Bitcoin to traditional equity market sentiment.
Ah, because institutions are holding both.
Exactly. When an institutional portfolio manager is holding a Bitcoin ETF alongside traditional tech stocks and a massive shock crashes the KOSPI and sends the Nasdaq sliding, their risk models start flashing red.
They just have to liquidate.
Right. When Nasdaq or KOSPI drops, institutions sell ETFs to cover their losses and reduce overall exposure. The first half of 2026 saw $5.4 billion in ETF outflows. Institutional adoption means institutional correlation.
Wow, $5.4 billion.
Yeah, and it pushed the crypto fear and greed index down to 38, firmly in the fear zone. It just proves that traditional market fear overrides the decentralized mathematics of the asset.
It's crazy. And while traditional markets are currently wallowing in real-world fear, gamers are actively looking forward to engineered psychological fear.
Which is a whole different type of vulnerability.
Let's talk about the September 24, 2026 release of Silent Hill, Townfall for the PS5 and PC. It's being developed by Screenburn, a studio based in Glasgow.
Yeah, and they're doing some really fascinating stuff with game design.
You play as Simon Ordell, and you're in this foggy 1990s Scottish town called St. Amelia. They move to a first-person perspective, which is a huge shift.
It completely changes how you interact with the environment.
Right, and you basically have to rely on the CRTV radio to track enemies. Instead of giving you a massive rocket launcher, the game gives you a walkie-talkie and says, you know, good luck. By weaponizing your own vulnerability, isn't it basically forcing you to be more intimate with your own dread?
It absolutely is. And the IGN review actually highlighted exactly this. They noted how the puzzles are completely unguided.
So no glowing waypoints.
None. There's this one puzzle where you have to decipher a safe code in an abandoned pharmacy just by looking closely at environmental clues. They give you nothing to help you out. You have to solve it entirely through environmental context.
Just like the crypto user trying to protect their own private keys, you're isolated and you have to rely on your own hypervigilance.
It demands your absolute attention or you fail. And this really matters to the gaming landscape right now. Silent Hill's new anthology approach, alongside the Silent Hill 2 remake and Silent Hill Effort, it allows diverse cultural perspectives to shine.
Like a Scottish coastal town ruined by corporate interests.
Exactly. Exploring themes like that helps keep a decades-old franchise feeling fresh and terrifying.
Okay, let's pull all these threads together, because we covered a lot today.
We really did.
From the milliseconds that save a SpaceX rocket, to the stateless simplicity of Anthropic's new AI protocol, to the billion-dollar vulnerabilities in crypto, and finally to the terrifying Scottish fog of Silent Hill.
So what does this all mean?
It's all about managing systems.
Right. Whether we are building rockets, financial systems, or video games, we are constantly managing risk and vulnerability.
And that leads to a final thought I want to leave you with today. Our digital architecture, like stateless AI and reusable rockets, is becoming mathematically flawless and endlessly scalable.
It's getting so resilient. It is. But as we saw with crypto phishing and ETF market panics, human psychology remains highly susceptible to fear and manipulation. So, as our technology approaches perfection, are we the humans using it destined to become the ultimate weak link in our own digital world?
That is definitely something to mull over. We'll leave you with that. Thank you for joining us in the room for this deep dive. Keep questioning the digital world around you.
See you next time.